portions of this hour brought to you by World Health. To join a health club, not a gym, World Health is a full-service club offering both nutrition and fitness for the best results. And they're Edmonton owned and operated. That is World Health.
The Jason Greger Show, powered by Mr. Lube, Canada's leader in car maintenance, only on Edmonton sports leader, TSN 1260. What keeps the planet spinning? The force from the beginning.
Foggy, cloudy Tuesday afternoon. Game day on TSN 1260. It's the Oilers and the Maple Leafs tonight. The Oilers trying to end a little mini two-game losing streak. Both games against the Arizona Coyotes as they welcome in the Leafs tonight. And something tells me, Oiler fans, I just have a sneaking suspicion, might be taking a page out of the Winnipeg Jets fan playbook tonight with a Connor's better chant. That's one of the greatest chants ever when Washington comes to Winnipeg. And Jets fans, they don't have Crosby, but they still chant Crosby's better. It's classic. It's great. It's funny. It's humorous. And tonight, I just have a sneaking suspicion, because I'll say this about the Leafs fans. They try to get going with the Go Leafs Go chant, and it does add some energy to the building. It's fantastic, because the building's been kind of dead some nights, and that makes it more entertaining. The Oiler fans are like, hey, wait a second. This is our place. We still outnumber you. Let's see what happens. So, I just have a sneaking suspicion. I've heard there's some online encouragement from fans to get that chant going. And I would suspect if you can get a few deep-voiced fans starting it, there's a chance it could go. And it would be fun. It's kind of just boring it for a night. Why not? Be good. Talking sports, fatherhood, and something very, very important as we wrap up the month of November. For many, it's called Movember. Global sports reporter John Sexsmith joins me in studio, sporting the stash. Johnny, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty well, thanks. Appreciate you having me on. Well, big fan of the station and the show.
John, I appreciate that. I know I miss seeing you around the rink. We always had good chats for many years. And I vividly remember a few years ago when you told me that you had prostate cancer, and I was, I probably stumbled and didn't know what to say because I'm not really sure what you're supposed to say at that point.
A lot of people are in that boat.
And I just wish you the best and, would kind of keep track. But I know it was something that you decided for the longest time just to keep between you and your family and people, I knew and I didn't discuss it with anyone else. And earlier, though, this month in November, you came out publicly kind of for the first time. You've been battling cancer now, prostate cancer, for 4 years. You've got stage 4 yep. prostate cancer, which is not a great diagnosis by any stretch. Why was now the right time for you to come out?
Well, I came close to coming out of the bathroom last year, but I realized the scope of this whole situation. It's a lot of work and it's a lot of attention, and I wasn't quite prepared for that, nor was my family. But I've benefited from a program that's been directly funded by the Movember Foundation, Prostate Cancer Canada, and True North. It's a strength and conditioning program that it was kind of interesting that I was part of the research project about 3 years ago. It dealt with strength and resistance training, and now that program has been implemented across the country. So I was pretty grateful for the opportunity to, first of all, get into the research project and now be a part of a program that's been recognized across the country. So I decided that I wanted to raise awareness for this program and help raise money to keep it going. There's a lot of guys like me that are benefiting from the program, so that's why I decided to come out.
How much strength has it given you coming out and letting everybody know that you have this horrible disease?
Well, it's been pretty amazing, Jason. It lifted an immense weight off my shoulders because it's been very, very difficult keeping things hidden inside, kind of silently suffering. And I think when I came out, all that energy that I had been putting forward into keeping things suppressed allowed me to kind of release. And it was very, I'm trying to think of the word, invigorating, if you will, liberating, another thing. So I had a ton of energy, the most I've had probably in about more than a year, and for a good solid week. It was definitely liberating, if that's the correct word for it.
John Sexsmith joins us in studio, of course, a longtime global sports reporter. Used to do all the in-house announcing the Eskimo games. It's another football into the end zone for high school football. I remember that before I even met you. And outside of, you know, having the fight of your life right now with prostate cancer stage 4 diagnosis, you and your wife are parents.
Yep.
You have a teenage son who's a very good hockey player. He's playing hockey. He's moved away from home. And but I say this because we have a lot of fathers listening and a lot of, you know, mothers listening to this one. And the challenges of being a father and a husband at the same time, and maybe mm-hmm. more of a father. I think with your wife, you're kind of unified. But as a parent, you know, sons always look up to dad, right? And yeah. you're supposed to be this, you know, the strong guy, kind of the hero and the invincible one. And then suddenly you have to tell your son, well, I got cancer. And can you go into how that conversation went the first time and how he's handled it now?
Well, we tried to keep it pretty close to the vest. He knew that his dad was sick. He was 10 when I was diagnosed. And that was a big year for him. He was trying out for Team Brick. Okay. So we didn't want that to become a distraction. My dad had also been diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. So there was a lot of stuff going on in our family simultaneously. So we decided, we thought this was going to be cut and dry. I'd have the surgery. I'd be back on track. And, we wouldn't miss a beat. But unfortunately, after the surgery, the pathology report wasn't very good. There was more cancer in an area of great concern. So went into radiation and still managed to keep it quiet. But when I started to feel the ill effects of radiation, that's when we had to break it to him. And he's a pretty mature young guy for his age. He's been through a lot already. So we broke it to him gently. My parents as well. It came as a great shock to them as well. So he handled it all in stride. I think he's starting to realize the gravity of the situation now, but he's certainly mature enough to handle it.
Was it difficult? Did he say, Dad, I don't want to go away. I'd rather just play hockey here rather than, did you have to kind of convince him, son, no, you got to go. This is the best road for you.
Well, I think, and we made this decision as a family, of course, we decided he needed a break from my cancer and my coaching. We're not sure which was worse, but I mean, he saw me in some pretty vulnerable positions over the past almost 5 years now. And I think that's a real, an eye opener. It can be very tragic for kids to see their dad, who they think's invincible, suffering and having all these problems. And at the same time, you know, I've been coaching him for a long time too. And I think he needed a break from that as well.
100%.
You know, there comes a time when, you know, you can tune out, and I think he'd got to the tune out department. And I think with everything colliding simultaneously, we thought that was the best thing for him and his development, because as you know, Jason, I'm all about developing this game. And I think he's been doing just that in Winnipeg at Rink Hockey Academy there.
John Sexsmith from Global Sports joins us. It's the final day of November. Movember, of course. Johnny's got the stash. I know many of our listeners have been growing it out.
Hey, you know what would look great with this? And this is called the Enforcer, according to the Mo guide.
Okay, that's the Enforcer. Yeah, because you kind of got it down the size halfway.
You got a Sharpie. Maybe we'll brighten her up a bit. But I thought this mustache with the wig you had at the Grey Cup, that would be total gold, man. Total.
You know what? It's interesting that you bring up that story, because we were talking about Grey Cup stories, and I was telling people how 2003 in Saskatchewan is one of my favorite Grey Cups of all time. I had just gotten to know you, and we ran into Jed Roberts. Like, you and I knew, so we were out. We ran into Jed Roberts and Trent Brown, two longtime Eskimos who had covered, and they were there just having fun. And the four of us just decided, we went out that night, and I'm wearing that wig, and I remember
that was hilarious.
We had to scale the fence to get into, I don't know if it was Ryderville, or I can't remember, but it was freezing.
It was a good party, man.
And there was a huge line, and we're like, and I remember, I don't know if it was you or somebody
I said,
come
let's
around
hop
the
fence.
Corner, and then boom, we're scaling the 6 to 12 foot fence, and I was happy the wig didn't get caught on it, but
we weren't going to be denied. Did you get some phone numbers out of that deal, by the way?
Yeah, well,
that was a rocking good wig.
You know, it's funny that wig. It was. I was amazed at how many people actually thought it was real.
It did,
because it was
real.
An expensive wig, and it did look legit real.
Like you looked like a young Mark Majot.
Yeah, because it was a big fro-mage. Like you'd have been impressed. I should have pictures.
It was
of that,
wild. So, yeah. Do you have pictures?
I think I have one. I'm probably the worst person when it comes to photos,
you and me
but
both.
A few people had sent me one. I think I have one if I rummage through it. in one of my boxes where pitchers are, which what's the point of putting them in a box because you never see them anyway. But right. Yeah, I think I do have a picture of that because I ran into the guy because I bored his wig basically for the night.
Yeah.
He had met us the night before and I was like, Dude, I love your wig. You got to let me have that. He's like, well, great. I'm a big fan of your show. And that's how I got the wig. It was unbelievable.
it was so funny.
And as a man of my word, I gave it back to him the next day for sure. We had to meet somewhere in the morning. It was fantastic. But now, John, you were a diehard sports guy for a long time. And mm-hmm. with this diagnosis, you know, you're going through radiation treatments and obviously wore down. Do you find you have more time to watch sports or you have less interest in sports?
It's kind of a combination of the two. Ironically enough, I've tried to find, pardon me, other interests outside of sports. I still coach. I coach for the Southside Athletic Club. I coach a Bantam AA team, so that takes up a fair bit of my time. I do some work for Hockey Alberta. I'm a coach facilitator, which means I coach other coaches. I've done some high-performance coaching for Hockey Alberta as well. So I've managed to maintain that focus, coaching, developing, I love for the game, all that sort of thing. But I've tried to be a little more well-rounded. I'm trying to learn how to play the fiddle. It was a violin that was handed down to me by my grandmother. It just sat there collecting dust, and I figured this was prime time to learn it. You know, I've done some other things, baking, cooking, gardening. It could have been the hormone therapy that got me into those different sort of activities. But, you know, it's been pretty cool. Been reading a lot, that sort of thing. I still follow the Oilers, but I feel really bad. You know, some of my most vivid and best childhood memories of professional sport concern the CFL. Yeah. I grew up in Winnipeg. I remember going to Canada Packers Field to watch the Bombers during training camp. You know, Pat and Mac Heron on the back at post game. All those kinds of things. And I've always had a real love for the CFL. But this year, for whatever reason, my love seems to have waned a bit. And I hear that from a lot of people. It has nothing to do with the Eskimos. It has nothing to do with the league. I just don't know why that I kind of lost my passion for being a great fan and lover of the game this season. So, getting back to your question, I'm trying to do a lot of different things. I'm trying to keep in touch with the local sports scene as much as I can, but my focus is my son, obviously, and trying to watch some of his games that are online from time to time. Hope to see him in tournaments upcoming. There's one in Calgary this weekend, the John Reed that'll come back. Be coming up in January.
Love the John Reed tournament.
Yeah, it's a great tournament. And then at the same time, you know, my other focus is my own team, and we have our hands full to some degree. They're great kids, but you know, we're still trying to teach them how to develop in the game. And then whatever leftover time for sports, I try to devote to, you know, watching the Oilers, the Eskimos, getting the highlights, that sort of stuff.
John Sexsmith from Global Sports joins us. He has stage 4 prostate cancer. You've been battling it now for 4 years. You're still coaching minor hockey. Like, that's a true inspiration to do it because I'm sure.
I don't think so.
Well, it is because a lot of times people can kind of get caught up in it and say, you know what, I got to focus on myself. I got to fight this as much as I can. But I think to have a positive attitude because while you have cancer, you're not dead, right?
No,
but
some people, living with cancer. Yeah, that's what I keep telling people.
Exactly. And I think it's such a great thing to show children to persevere when you have hurdles in front of you.
Well, there's another thing. I've kind of keep that a secret too.
Yeah, but with the internet now, I'm sure their families have seen it.
Well, I knew that there was going to be something last night involving Global TV, and we call it a Move for Movember fitness session. I wanted the boys to come out and participate. They're great kids. They all did. And I kind of warned them in advance, here's my situation. There was a few shocked faces in our dressing room on
Sunday.
And
how old?
These guys are 13 and 14.
Okay, so they're old enough to get it.
Yeah. So, but I don't know if I do it to inspire as much as I do it because I love it.
Yeah.
And I get some real great energy out of the deal. And I just love the game. I love teaching, and I think it might be some of my best medicine. There's been some times this year and in the past where I've been in great pain and I step into the dressing room and onto the bench and I've forgotten everything until after the final whistle. So it's given me great strength and I think it's helped my energy immensely.
Has it calmed you down as a coach?
Yeah, you know what? I think I've kind of adjusted my style. The game's changing, and I think I've changed along with it. You know, some refs might disagree with you, but I think for the most part, any of the stuff that I do is in a positive fashion.
We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back because we have a lot of guy listeners, and we're going to get into the serious part. It is November, of course, mm-hmm. and the prostate cancer, and signs that made you get checked, how it went through, and because I know guys don't want to listen to it, but trust me, it's extremely important. And if you're a father, you definitely should be doing it. You're a young guy anyway. It's never too early to at least have some warning signs. So we'll continue our conversation with John Sexsmith from Global Sports, who is living with cancer. He has a stage 4 prostate cancer. It's a final day in November, so we're wrapping things up final time, and we'll let you know where John's team is if you want to make a donation to his team when we return on Edmonton Sports Leader TSN 1260.
Portions of this hour brought to you by World Health. Try them today with a 30-day no obligation free trial. No strings, no catch. Simply a great chance to experience Edmonton's premier fitness club with unlimited group fitness and world-class personal trainers. That's World Health.
This is the Jason Greger Show on your home for Edmonton sports, TSN 1260. I think I lost my way. Getting good at
starting over every time that I return. 325, game day on TSN 1260, but also for all of our listeners and people who work and associated with the oil field, huge news with the approval today. Of the two pipelines, and that's massive news for a lot of people right now who I know have been a little bit concerned financially. So hopefully there's some celebration. I know some people wanted the Keystone one. That one got rejected right now, but the other two are a go, and that's huge news for Albertans working in the oil field. So that's awesome. It's a good early Christmas present, I think, for many people.
That is.
As John Sexsmith from Global Sports joins us, longtime sports reporter in Edmonton. Many of you watched him on TV for decades. He has been battling for 4 years with prostate cancer. He has stage 4 prostate cancer as we wrap up November. And Johnny, quickly, for anybody out there, if they want to make a final donation for you today, where's your site at?
It's mobro.co/daddy-o.
Daddy-o. All right. Nice.
Well, my son calls me Daddy-o, so I thought it kind of rhymed and all that stuff.
Perfect.
Too.
And now is that just D-A-D,
D-A-D-E-O.
D-A-D-E-O. Perfect. Perfect. So,
and we'll dot C-O.
We'll get that again. We'll put it out on Twitter as well if anybody wants to make a donation. Now, we have to talk about the tough things, I think, if we're going to raise awareness about mm-hmm. this, John. What were the signs for you when you finally said, hey, this, something's not right?
Well, it was a pure fluke, as a matter of fact, Jason. I got a call from my doctor's office. It would have been in December of 2008. And they said, yeah, we're ready for your annual physical. We'll see you on January, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I don't remember booking a physical. And I usually do it in September. Everybody's getting back to school and work. And that's kind of my guideline. But I said, I'm kind of forgetful, so maybe I booked it and forgot. So I go for my doctor's appointment, and there's my dad sitting in the office. We have the same family doctor, and the receptionist says, yeah, we bad. We got you guys mixed up. But, John, we have some time allotted for you, so why don't you do your annual physical? Okay, I did. 2 weeks later, I got a call from my doctor. He says, we're really concerned about your PSA. I had no idea what that meant. In this business, it's public service announcement.
Say.
So he said, he explained it's prostate-specific antigen, kind of a measuring device on if there's cancer in the prostate and that sort of thing. Like, oh, okay. So I went and had a biopsy, and fortunately, everything was negative. But the urologist who was on my case said, you know what, you're a high-risk candidate for prostate cancer.
And why is that? Why are you high-risk?
I don't know. DNA, just family history, we couldn't really figure that out. So he said, we're going to keep in close touch with this situation. So I started having blood tests every 3 to 6 months. And sure enough, in I guess it would have been January of 2012, boom. My PSA was off the charts, at least according to my body type. So we went through the biopsy process again, and it was right around the time when Alberta Health Services had an issue with getting some of their biopsy results mixed up. So I waited for about 2 or 3 months until the final results came in, and it was August 13th, as a matter of fact. The phone rang mid-evening, and it was my doctor's name that came up on call display, and I said to my wife, I don't think this is going to be good news. And sure enough, it wasn't. So we both went with my doctor, and he discussed the alternatives, exactly what the prostate is and does, and you know, presented some options on what we should do in terms of treatment. We decided on the surgery, and that's kind of the way it went.
So you decide on surgery.
Mm-hmm.
When it hits you, like, are you out for the count now? Is that when you had to take a leave from Global? Was it that instance? Or because I'm pretty sure you were working through it for a while on Global for, I think, almost 2 years.
Well, when I originally had my surgery, I think I was out 4 weeks.
Okay.
I think they give you a kind of a 4 to 8 week timeline, and I couldn't sit still. So I was doing probably more harm than good being at home. So I went back to work, and things seemed to be going smoothly. I started radiation in the spring of 2013, and it was kind of wild because I'd be like in my shirt and tie from the waist up, and I'd be in one, you know, hospital scrubs from the waist down, and I arranged it so I would go at like earlier before my shift started at Global, so, you know, go and do the radiation thing, off to work at Global, and things seemed to be coming along just fine. And then I got the results from the radiation. I think I had 31 treatments, 33. I kept forget the exact number. And they said, you know, a swing and a miss, that's strike two. So like, what now? So we started what's called androgen deprivation treatment or hormone therapy. So I'm injected with a hormone. It helps suppress any growth from the cancer. It seems to have been very effective. I've been doing that for about 2 years now. I had a big spike there last January, but we seem to have calmed things down a bit. But the radiation didn't really take hold, at least the after effects or the side effects, until about a year and a half after the fact. My plumbing system came to a complete screeching halt.
Okay.
And it wasn't just a case of throwing in some liquid plumber to get things going again. The scar tissue is formed to the point where I can't relieve myself the old-fashioned way. So I have what's called a catheter.
Yeah.
So it's about 4 fingers below my belly button. It's a tube that enters a bag that's attached to my leg, and that's kind of how I flow these days.
You ever catch that? I had a catheter once when I was having surgery, and unfortunately, when I had my surgery after a car accident, they one day the doc came in, they're giving you like a body wash sponge bath, if you want to call it that, and the cord hooked on his leg.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm telling you, like, the worst pain you'll ever experience in your life. So I just, have you, thankfully, you've never had to do, you haven't had it.
I haven't had the Dumb and Dumber 2.
Okay,
did you see that one?
Yeah, I saw
Jim Carrey. That's a beauty, man. So guys with catheters would really get a charge out of that. Is that the opening scene where he's coming out of the hospital?
Yeah, it's awful.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
You know, laughter is a pretty good medicine too, man. I got to tell you, I saw a post yesterday, and I'm sure a lot of your listeners have seen it as well, where there's a kid going one-on-one with his grandmother, a little basketball in the driveway. And she takes a tumble, man. And I'm going straight to hell, but whatever. I got cancer anyway. So I was laughing 5 hours after I saw the original post. I don't know if you've seen it.
Oh, yeah. The grandma, she's wearing like the dress almost down to her knees.
Yeah.
And it's like in basketball. You know, when you get the crossover, and grandma, like, first of all,
she
I give grandma
good.
Credit. She was right in there.
She
but
was
all
down
of a sudden,
low and defending well, but
her nurse shoes, it's like she got crisscross on one and boom, she went down hard. Like it wasn't like a slow mo one. She went down hard.
Yeah. I think I said something to the effect of, yeah, she lost her traction there, but she eventually gained, or she lost her footing there, but she eventually gained traction.
Yeah. John Sexsmith from Global. Kind of the, you know, preempting the Gene Principe pun days. Like, you and Principe should have a pun off one day.
Yeah, sure, whatever.
Like, that'd be pretty good. You know, like, both of you are ultra talented and just off the cuff puns.
I've always liked playing around with the English language, that's for sure. Even my friends know back when I was a kid that I liked to lay down a bad pun, and they're mostly bad.
So, John, what's the diagnosis now? You've had prostate cancer stage 4. You've been living with it for 4 years now. What's next for you?
Well, this catheter has been an absolute nightmare. There's been so many things going wrong here in the last 2 years. It's time to try another alternative. In fact, I'm sitting here with a staph infection. I found that out Friday. I had a doctor's appointment this morning. I was there for 2 hours. I just came from a blood test. You know, what happens is that I think I got some bacteria in during one of my changes or when I do some of my own maintenance at home, and it's accumulated. So tried some antibiotics. It hasn't seemed to work. So I'm trying another antibiotic starting this evening. So anyway, what we're going to try and do is we're going to get rid of this thing. I'm going to have a cystectomy, which is usually performed on bladder cancer patients.
Okay.
They're going to remove my bladder and they're going to run a line from my kidney to what will be a permanent appendage on my body that will help me relieve. Yeah. It's kind of a mind blower, hey?
It's kind of amazing.
I watched the operation on YouTube. It's incredible. So it'll put me in the hospital for probably a couple of weeks because there's a high risk of infections, plural, yeah. And then probably 2 months to recover. And then I hope to be back to work. Seriously.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been telling people I've been working on living as opposed to working for a living, but I sure do miss working for a living.
You know, it's funny how a lot of people we take for granted.
Oh, yeah.
Even and now you're lucky you had a job that you love to do, but mm-hmm. but even just having a purpose,
yes. right?
Getting up, knowing, okay, I got to do this today. I'm going here. I got to get this story done or whatever it is, getting back to work in the pipeline now with the pipeline
sure.
approvals. Like it's just that in itself can be such a motivator for you. And it's amazing how the mind and the body works. It's suddenly if you feel like you've got something to look forward to and go to, your body almost reacts similar.
And I think that's a big reason why I kept working through all of this. My wife was saying, you're crazy. Some of the doctors were saying, you know, whatever. If you feel like working is going to help you get through this all, then keep working. And it came to a point last year, probably around this time. I don't want to blow my own horn here, but last year when I did the Movember campaign, I was working a full-time job. I went to four Move for Movember Monday fitness sessions. I was coaching a hockey team, and I also did a high performance evaluation and selection camp in, coincidentally enough, Sexsmith, Alberta. So I was really running there last Movember. We raised $25,000. We went into December, Christmas season, shifts are kind of all over the place, nights, days. My dog got really sick in January. She ended up, ironically enough, with bladder cancer. So she kept waking me up at all hours of the night to, yes, me, nobody else in the house apparently, to go out and do her stuff. So I think I was really worn down, and that's why I ended up in the predicament I did. My count grew high, my energy grew extremely low, and an effort not to let anything else grow, I decided to stop working in March. But, you know, I loved working. I think you knew that, and I think I hit it fairly well, that I was, you know, dealing with some difficult times and not letting it become a distraction at the rink or at the stadium or in the dressing room. And so work was fulfilling, of course. It has been for a long, long time. But we had to make a decision. You know, either I keep working or I don't keep living.
John Sexsmith from Global TV joins us dealing with prostate cancer. He's at stage four. He's been living with it now for 4 years and plans on living with it for a lot longer time. Happily married, father of a young son who's 14 now?
Yeah.
14.
Yeah. So,
Bantam draft.
Bantam AAA, yeah.
Bantam AAA draft. Nice. Now, we got a lot of texts coming in here at 10, 12, 60. Hey, guys, my dad was diagnosed in 2014, luckily removed and cancer-free. I'm 35, been putting off getting checked. Listening today to John, I booked an appointment. Thanks, John.
So. Well, you know, and here's the other thing, Jason. I go into the waiting room at the Urology Institute, where I see a lot of the physicians that are on my case, and I'm generally the youngest guy there, and I am at our strength and conditioning program. So I don't know. I guess I'm kind of an exception to the rule, especially when it comes to the side effects or after effects of radiation, because I haven't been able to find anybody in the world, and I'm on an international chat line that has the same sort of situation as I do. But I'm not alone. There's a lot of guys out there that, you know, we're dealing with it together. So regardless of age, you have to be very in tune with your health, both physically and mentally. So, you know, that's the thing. if you can schedule regular, you know, annual visits to your doctor, it's not a bad thing. No. You know, you and I are old school. Yeah, sometimes you got to play hurt, man. Yeah. Well, you know, sometimes you got to get to the doctor.
Yeah. And John, what is your donation link again?
It's mopro.co/daddio.
And dad is
D-A-D-E-O.
D-A-D-E-O. I'm going to put that up on my Twitter page.
Thanks.
And we've got a few people texting in, so I'm just sending them a link.
You know, I didn't want this to turn into a pity party.
No,
this
was... and you know what, John? I don't think it is at all. We've got a lot of people. So it's the reason I wanted you on, we've been friends for a long time, and I like to have people on to tell the story, not as a pity party at all, because more so to say, hey, this is what happened to me, but I'm living with it. And just as a reminder, guys, don't put it off, because you were a guy who was not out of shape. You didn't smoke. You know, you lived a healthy lifestyle.
I think so, for the most part.
And it can happen at any time. And I still vividly remember when you and I were at the rink and we were talking, and then you just said, hey, Jay, there's something I got to tell you. And I was blown away, because it's not like you wake up and you just, hey, look at that guy. I think he's going to get prostate cancer, yeah. Right? Like, I don't know, no offense. I was never checking out your rear end. So, I wasn't thinking what your prostate looked like. So it's one of those things that you just never know. And you don't live in fear, but you can live educated and at least put yourself in a position to find it out sooner than later.
And that's what I'm trying to do, is raise some awareness. There's a group of us that, there was only four when this program started. Now there's more than 24, and we're looking for a change of venue. Margie McNeely and her fabulous staff at the Cancer Rehab Clinic at Corbett Hall at the university, you know, have really changed our lives. I mean, there's been a social element too. You know, we've been kind of isolated, a lot of us, but now we get together and we talk about sports and we work out together and we have some fun together. And it's really fulfilling in that department. But you know, one thing I'm really sad about, Jason, I was driving by, Denny Andrews American Bar has been leveled.
I know, buddy.
When did that happen?
That's happened a few years ago with that place.
Holy smokes.
I love that you called it Denny Andrews and not Cowboys. That's unbelievable.
Well, I used to DJ there a long time ago.
What?
Yes.
Man,
back in the mid-80s.
Back when you got... Oh, it made, okay.
Yeah, right,
a little
band.
Bit before my time, because I remember Denny... When I first went there, as yep. 18 or 9, they had these two... massive, like the biggest bouncers I've ever seen in Edmonton. I don't know if they were twin brothers or what, but these guys are like 6'5".
Oh, yeah, we had some big boys
heads,
there.
Like, I don't know if they were just drinking steroids or not, but they were massive. And it was just like, you walk in there, yes, sir. How are you doing, sir? Oh, like I literally saw those guys.
We had some big boys at the front door,
like,
for sure.
Like with one hand just throwing guys out like it was nothing.
Yeah, we had some fun at that bar.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Behind the DJ booth.
So you're DJing, where else you DJ at?
That was it.
That
was my first real gig. Well, I actually kind of, you know, growing up, I'd always been into music and announcing. So I would do like the school dance and the hockey parties. And then I got an opportunity, you know, I knew there was an opening at Denny Andrews. I went there and I auditioned and, you know, ended up getting a full-time gig there. And it was great because it was the sound was fantastic. We had a great laser light show. We had the dance floor that you could move up and down hydraulically.
Yeah.
Lots of huge speakers to dance on. It was fun.
That was outstanding. So once again, it's
I've come out of the bathroom and the DJ booth.
John, I love your sense of humor with it, definitely. And I don't think this came across as a pity party at all. I think it's inspiring. Not only are you living with cancer, you're still coaching it and helping out 13 and 14-year-old kids and trying to make them into better people. And best of luck to you and your entire family. Best of luck with the upcoming surgery. And more importantly, we look forward to seeing you back on the air, because trust me, I think I speak on behalf of all Edmontonians. They'd much rather see your mug than Karius's mug on TV.
They wouldn't want to see this mustache, though.
Oh, no, they would. That's the best part. That's the best part. You should be able to have the stash year-round now. That should be part of your contract.
Well, I'll have to spice her up with a little Just for Men.
Yeah, you and Gord Stanky could have, like, dueling mustaches.
Yeah.
Right? John, we wish you all the best.
Thanks very much, Jason. I appreciate this opportunity to spread the good word of Movember.
We had a lot of... I just want to read a few of these before we get going. Good luck, John. I got the privilege of coaching against you in an exhibition game last year in PWAA. I've had to grow the stash for a month on your behalf. That one comes from Steve in Barrhead. Thanks for having John on. Great conversations. Best wishes and strength to you, John, from Sheldon in a white garbage truck.
Thanks.
Coached against John for a couple years now. I'm a young 20-year-old coach in St. Albert, coaching Bantam AA and Pee Wee AA. He's a true inspiration, beauty of a guy. Keep fighting the fight, Johnny.
Thanks.
Comes from JT and many other ones similar to that, John. So definitely inspiring a lot of people. And guys, get out there, get the rubber glove, get checked. Yeah. It is it's basically 20 seconds of inconvenience that can help you out for a long time. Definitely. Thanks for sharing your story, John. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Jason.
John Sexsmith from Global Sports. And once again, you can go to mobro.co/daddio, D-A-D-E-O. It's on my Twitter feed right now if you want to go there. Or it's on our Facebook page as well. Or you can text me and I'll send you the link directly. So thanks, everybody. And thanks for John for sharing a story. We'll return. We go from talking about a fight for his life to a fight in the ring next on Edmonton Sports Hitter, TSN 1260.